Can I first of all say congratulations to the independent panel and to Dr. Philip Boger for this excellent, excellent report. In our world of further education, of colleges, we didn't quite know what to expect. But having read the report over the weekend, with the evidence base so clear, the groundbreaking recommendations, there is really a sense of excitement for those of us in further education about the recommendations in the report. So thank you so very much. Looking at maybe a little bit of a textual analysis there, I draw your attention to the story of both care and neglect that the panel discovered. Depending on which side of the 50% you belong to, in colleges we teach mainly the other 50%. And the panel says that this, in terms of fairness and equity, we do have to address as a country this issue, and that if we do get this right, there will be considerable social and economic benefits, and that this is the key message. Where it is that we've got a cake, it is desperately unfair that some young people have a huge slice and some have a sliver. And the panel talks about rebuilding further education so that the technical and vocational education is seen as a means of addressing the country's skills gaps. And this is widely acknowledged now across the country, whether it's the CBI or it's Ofsted or it's the House of Lords or it's the Fiscal Institute for Fiscal Studies, the argument has been won. What this report does is to give us all a how. This is the way we could address this in very simple, understandable terms. The idea of lifelong learning. And I do hope that once and for all, we can move this forward, that we no longer talk about this Cinderella sector. And I'll take you away from science and technology and just put you in that world of the fairy tale. It's a horrible story. I hope we don't ever refer to FE ever again, that we seize this opportunity to do away with the Cinderella sector. The story of Cinderella and the ugly sisters, no one should be the ugly sister. We need a sense of agency for us in further education and for all of us as a society. No glass slipper, no Prince Charming, no fairy godmothers. There is an evidence base in this report about what can be done for equity and fairness. And we don't expect a live happily ever after story either, because we all need to work together to bring about a change. Looking at the Prime Minister's words, she talks about FE being the colleges being engines of social mobility and economic prosperity, delivering the industrial strategy, and indeed, I would add the industrial education strategy, where colleges have got a strong part to play as well. She talks about overlooked, undervalued, and underfunded. This is the reality of the situation. And this is an opportunity, she says, to put right the errors of the past. And then we have the Education Secretary who talks about, and we will now carefully look at their recommendations. We're not talking about whether the recommendations, these excellent recommendations, will be taken forward or not. They must be. And it's how do we all work together to take things forward, irrespective of the political scenario. So it's a diverse sector, FE, and colleges. The report rightly identifies that we have come from a system or a history, maybe in the 18th, 19th century, of where the colleges focused on initial vocational education, that pre-entry to employment, vocationally oriented and technician level training, which the country needs desperately. And we also provided opportunities to retrain, reskill, and upskill. We have somehow now acquired the general education mandate. We work with adults and have also inherited this, what the report, the panel talks about being the default position, where it is when it's not clear what's happening in the education system, it becomes the colleges dealing with failure, problems. We have been referred to as the adaptive layer of the education system, for which we are rightly proud of the work that we do in terms of being inclusive. But there does need to be a rebalancing, looking at what the nation needs and how the colleges can make a strong contribution, as indeed colleges of higher technical education do in different parts of the world, such as Canada or America or Australia, where there's a clear system in America where the colleges and the universities are part of the same higher education sector. So what are the implications for us coming out of this default position where there's a clear focus, what's to be done? The Institute of Fiscal Studies says that we are in a near permanent state of revolution in FE, always changing, always doing something, providers of everything to everyone. Implications for us, looking then at the report. The report talks about a vision for FE colleges in the future. And I believe that our focus as colleges must be to embrace this vision, which is a return to the roots of colleges, but also taking things further. We had the Foster Review years ago, which pointed out our distinct mission. And this report presents this vision. And I think we do, as colleges, need to embrace the simplicity of this vision, which we do hold dear, but we work on other things and funding and policy and revolution, distracting from this vision that can make such a strong contribution to our nation. A national network of collaborative further education colleges. The key word there being collaborative. We do need to do away with competition and work together. Technical, professional, with a clear focus on levels 3, 4, and 5, where we have seen over the past years, and this data is well analysed in the report, of a fall in numbers of those young people studying at those levels. To be aligned to our local economies and our strong relationships with employers, which are a key strength of colleges. We do work very, very closely with our local employers and therefore be engines of social mobility and inclusion, and also do community learning, reskilling, upskilling. And it is about how the funding levers are applied, because for many colleges in survival mode, the way the funding goes brings about unintended consequences, where there is a tendency to focus on the low-value qualifications, the ones that don't need the equipment because the colleges can't afford to have the right equipment for upskilling, for skilling, and for the training, not just because we want to be competitive, we're competing with other nations, but because our people that we serve rightly deserve to be trained on the best kit. So, first implication. Looking then at the other areas of reform that the committee, that the panel focused on, that we must focus on the economically valuable provision. I've talked about that, and based on the industrial strategy priorities. What does this mean for us? We do need to hold that vision and make those hard choices about what it is that we will do and how the funding then works to support that. In Portsmouth, my home city, we have got very few adults who are qualified to level 3, 4 and 5. Significant proportion. We've got people in low-paying jobs. We have got over 25, 26% of young people living in poverty. Surely we can do better. And this story is repeated all over the country in terms of how we as colleges work and how the funding works against this sort of provision. The funding rate to be increased, more flexible funding. We have the most complex financial regulatory system in the world. Inflexible. And the panel talks about a quick win here, that something needs to be done urgently, and that indeed the funding body say that they are able to, if they are instructed, change things quite quickly. Investing in the college estate. Julia has talked about the investment, the capital, and so on. You need to see the colleges. Desperate need for investment. If you compare the colleges, you know, if you look at, say, America or Canada or even Germany, and look at the specialist equipment that young people are being trained with or on, in partnership with the employers. I find it quite interesting that the same multinationals that work here in the UK are also in some of these other nations and do contribute generously in terms of equipment that they would want their people coming into employment with them to have been trained on. Consolidation and specialisation, that is absolutely key. And this is where it is that, again, we can work in partnership with universities to specialise so that this cake, as it is shared, is equitable. Investing in the FE workforce, it is really, really difficult. In colleges, our staff are dual professionals. That's the nature of the provision that we are, that we offer. So our engineers would have been engineers, and then they are trained to teach. Our construction workers, the plumbers, those in the built environment, they are dual professionals, and then they teach as well. It is very tough to recruit people and pay them to deliver the skills. So we need this investment. The investment is not a cap in hand, it's if we are, the funding is fair, then there is the wherewithal to pay. The committee talks about data collection, not a lot more around the use of data and benchmarking. The fit for purpose regulation I've touched on, and then a protected title for colleges. This is about a recognition of what colleges do. People often, well, what do you do? Then you describe, right, we're doing entry-level provision here, we're doing maths and English, we're doing higher national diplomas, we're doing that technical certificate, we're focusing on STEM here, but we're doing, the remedial work as well. That is not a way to run a railroad, where a college is a college is not a college, where people don't recognise the brand and therefore the prestige or the knowledge and the advice and guidance and parents and people really valuing the technical professional skills and training that the country desperately needs. other implications, I think, very, very quickly then. The Association of Colleges and the Love Our Colleges campaign, which you may or may not have heard of, has won the argument, really, about why colleges are important and need to be invested in for the higher level, the technical professional skills. That argument. We must now shift to how can we support, how can we move forward? What's the next step in taking these recommendations forward? What are those things that we can do for ourselves? And what do we need to, with all the support, all of us working together, whether it's the CoLab group of large influential city-based colleges or other mission groups, whether it's the sixth form colleges, whether it's the mixed economy group that offers, that those colleges offer a lot of higher education programs up to degree level and so on. We need to work together, working with our employers. I've sort of touched on that point with employers and working with the universities. It's absolutely vital, I think, that this, what the report talks about, that collaboration, or indeed in the setting up of the pan, this false dichotomy, this divide between further education and higher education. We must break down those barriers. I think with the universities that are becoming the civic universities, there's huge opportunities to work together in a locality, and I can just see this working in my locality with the University of Portsmouth, to really look at how the colleges in that city, both the FE College and the Sixth Form College, can work together with the University Technical College that the university backs and other institutions to look at how we can work together to deliver world-class education. So there we are, the end. I would like to see a new narrative that is not about Cinderellas. Could we have a Camelot age of lifelong learning where all win, all participate, and we're collaborating and working together? Thank you.